We'd like to invite you to our City Council meeting, July 26th, 2022, 6:30, or your city meeting. We'll start out tonight with pledge allegiance being led by Steve Clark and opened prayer by Ronnie Black.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic of which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Father, and everyone. Give me thanks to be able to go here tonight together as a community to discuss the issues and faces of the city and to pray that they have their guidance. Also, that blessing of peace for us. Give me thanks for the rain that we've received lately, the mountain river streams, and for their crops and yards. Continue to bless with me. So pray for the Lord to call my pleasant home and live in this beautiful valley for all the blessings that you can enjoy here, for the liberties and freedoms. And give me thanks and praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Next, we have a little girl. This year, Paul is Mike.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Ronnie.
Yes.
Sam.
Yes.
Okay, this is Google Claims. Claim register dated 7/9/2022 to 7/20/2022 in the dollar amount of $159,342.73.
Hello, Grand Captain, there for you.
Looks like we're getting some trophy treatment for the cemetery.
$159,342.73. Roll call.
Ken.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Ronnie.
Yes.
Sam.
Yes.
Okay, next is a requisition from our fire department to MJK trailer sales for single SA wheel trailer, $6,728.25. Requisition number 718-2022-1102.
Requisition 718-2022-1102
It's NJK instruction in the amount of $6,728.25.
I'll second that one.
Yeah, motion by Russell, second by Rodney to approve requisition 7182-0221-102 to NJK Trail Sales for $6,728.25. Roll call.
Sorry, so we need a motion to approve.
Russell made a motion, second by Rodney.
Okay, thank you, sorry.
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Rodney?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes. I think that they have budgeted $30,000 for this, and it was almost $67,000. That's almost $3,000 left for this. That's good.
Next, we have a presentation by Mike Stagg.
Stagg?
Do you want to come forward?
Love to.
If you change that, we're going to make...
Is that okay?
Yeah, I couldn't have probably hear you better there than with your back to them.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mayor, Council, thank you for having me out here today. My name is Mike Stagg. I work for Utah Local Government Trust. The last of what we're Utah Local Government Trust is not Pleasant City's insurance company. So what we do is we provide, you know, generalized work compensation coverage for the city of Mount Pleasant. As part of that, we have what's called a product safety program. I'm the administrator of that program. My background is actually with the American Red Cross. I used to be over at the lifeguarding and lifeguard certifications, water safety, swim instructor certifications. Did that for a number of years. Before that, I was a renovation director in Park City, Utah. Before that, I was an aquatics director for Salt Lake County. Started my career as a 15-year-old lifeguard, so we started like in both places. And one of the things about this program that we're super excited about is that it's an all-encompassing program that looks at every facet of the facility. So we look at not only the lifeguards and their performance and how they do in relation to schedules that I come in through, but also we look at the overall safety and security of the facility, water quality, the filtration systems, the back pump rooms, all of that is encompassing inside of this program. And one of the fun little tidbits is when this pool first opened, the first group of lifeguards and the first group of swim instructors that was trained here was trained by me. When we come out and do that training when I was with the Red Cross. And so this facility here is very near and dear to me in my heart. And so it's a fantastic facility you guys have here as a community and council. You've done a fantastic job of supporting your team that you have here. You have a great team. Brady has a great staff. And you guys do a fantastic job of making sure that they stay supported. So the community here has a great place to come. Now we need even a little bit more to me because my mom just recently moved here to Mount Pleasant. So my mom stepped up here in Mount Pleasant, they moved from the Wilson area. So we come here to bring our kids here. And it's a pool that we can feel safe to bring our kids to. And that's a big thing for me, right? Being an aquatic staff, being a recreation thing. And sometimes you see pools that aren't as safe and aren't as well run as this one is. One of the things you put them through is what's called an audit, for lack of a better word, that's based on the model of aquatic health code. The model of aquatic health code is put out by the Centers for Disease Control, so it's a national program that's put out there, and that looks at everything that has talked about, from water quality to the safety and security of the facility, other slip and trip fall hazards on the pool deck, things like that. In the trust pool, or for trust pool, We have 32 members, 32 cities, counties, municipalities that are participants in this program. The MAC report for Mount Pleasant from last year is the highest number we have in the whole membership. That's cool. It's fantastic, right? So that's really testament to what those folks do right there at the back. And you as the council mayor, the support that you guys give this staff to make sure that the pool stays safe, that they have the funds and the support that they need, and the community, thank you for your support of that facility to make sure that it stays safe. One of the other things we've been doing for these lifeguards to have a bunch of different schedules. They are nervous when I come out because they see me walk through the door and they think, oh no, here we go. But they do a fantastic job. They go through everything from a simple active rescue of somebody who would jump off the diving board, for example, and not be able to swim, to if they have to do a spinal scenario where somebody dives in the pool and hits their head, and then they have to use a backboard and get them out of the water and the different protocols they follow. And they score very, very well in these categories. So what I'm here today to do is to present an award to the pool, to the manager, to Brady and her staff, for this pool safety program. And we're working on a silver medallion for this last year. So I know it's almost 2022, and this is 2021, really. So this is for last year. They're in a silver category, and we're so proud that mayor and council will be the support of them and for everything that they do. And so if it's okay with the council and the mayor, I would like to bring those guys, bring your staff forward to embarrass them further, and have them come and accept this award. Come back, this handsome young man right here, he's been our guinea pig. Every time I come out, he's had to perform these schedules. So we're going to present that to him, so he's...
Thanks to Brittany there and to her staff. You know, that takes a lot, and we've had some challenges through the last year, and they pulled them. So COVID was definitely a challenging time for the pool, and still a challenging time with labor to keep lifeguards and keep that pool open. So thank you lifeguards and Brittany for the long work there. And thanks, Mike, for coming down to present that to you. Next is Carol Gundry.
Is this where you want me to
go? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that should make this a lot easier. You folks are so well supported by the City Council and doing such a good job. Mr. Mayor, thank you for having me. City Council, I'm glad to be here. Now, most of you folks. I'm here today to talk about splash pads and the burden it's putting on some of our citizens. Right now, there's a fee for splash pads, the rest of the floor. A lot of those situations have been handled. I'm asking that we make this more accessible to our citizens, not just some of our citizens that can afford it, but all of our citizens. Kudos to Brittany. I think she does a very good job. I've visited with her, and she's very capable. Good job. I propose, the pool is open, and the splash pad has been open. Apparently, correct me if I'm wrong, Brittany, from 9 to 8.
Which part?
The splash pad.
The splash pad is 9 to 8, correct.
I can't hear.
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's 11 hours. I would like to present a plan that it would be of no cost for 3.5 hours from 1 to 4:30. During that time, we need monitors so that the children will follow the rules and there will not be any disruption. And also, I'm proposing that this is for members of Mount Pleasant City and their families. Mount Pleasant citizens have paid for this for 9 years. We're still paying for their taxes and they're happy to do it. But let's include everyone. Let's include those who cannot afford it. I propose, which I just started to get onto this bandwagon, and I propose that we will have volunteers, 2 volunteers for the 3.5 hours that it's open to help monitor the rules and to make sure that correct people come in. The City Council is here to serve. I was fortunate enough to serve on the City Council for 2 terms, and I was pleased to do it. I was pleased to serve the community, and that's what I'm finding you are doing, and I hope you will continue to do so. I'm asking you to make a motion tonight to accept this, because we've had extreme heat, and there's only about, 3.5 weeks left for school to start, and these kiddos are not having access to the splash pad. They pay for it, we should have it, no matter what their income is. I will not field questions tonight. The questions that you have are for you folks, the City Council, and your pool manager. And I'm sure that you can resolve all the questions within your own group. Basically, that's what I want to say. I'm going to say, do the right thing, let's help the community. Thank you.
Have you talked to many people that would be willing to come and help?
Yeah, the mothers themselves, if they bring their kids along, they can stay for a couple hours, just follow them and help supervise. And that's the only thing I'm behind on, that I feel I'll be happy to do that. But of course, that's verbal. Do I have a schedule? No. Do I need a volunteer coordinator? Yes. And I hope to do that right away. I'm too old for the computer, but I'm hoping to get somebody that will step forward and do this so that you have someone there all the time to watch them, to make sure that they follow the rules and that just the citizens come in. Thank you.
Thank you. Did you have any comment on that, or how that would affect you?
I have a couple. So, I like the idea of having it free to the community. I would love to have it. There's just a few logistical issues that we have. First and foremost is why we started charging in the first place. It costs a lot to run that splash pad. A lot. Before we started charging for the splash pad, it was free. Graffiti was an issue. People showering was an issue. People washing their dogs, even just bringing their dogs, was a huge issue. I recently saw a study where one dog equals 50 burned people. So it's super gross.
Does the camera pass in the building?
Yes, we do have cameras now. There was also a lot of issues with features being broken, that sort of thing. It just wasn't really treated very well. And because of all of the dirt and everything, we had to drain it a lot. We had to use a lot more chemicals. And it was very expensive. Not to mention, by health codes, you have to take chemicals out there every so often. And that means the public work guys have to stop what they're doing, come take the chemicals, shut it down, leave it out, whatever. Where now, my lifeguards do it, which actually saves us a lot of time and a lot of money. So that's really nice. I took notes. So
Another reason we, those are basically the reasons that we started charging for it. It also is just easier on my staff. I personally have been through rescues since May. I don't want myself or my guards to have to worry about wristbands or directing traffic when someone could be drowning. I don't want to have to have that on somebody's conscience. So there are bathrooms out there that we can use, that people who use the splash pad also have access to the pool facilities, the pool toilets, the pool showers, and that sort of thing. We also have lifeguards out there. We don't have a lifeguard stationed on the splash pad, but we do have one near. Every time there's someone out there, a lifeguard's out there. So if something happens, they can respond. Whether it's someone getting stung by a bee, getting their knee, having a heart attack, whatever it is, we have lifeguards out there that are trained and prepared to deal with that, to take care of it. We started charging because things keep getting broken. And even though it's a lot less than it was, things are still really expensive. Things take, and this year, things are taking more time to get here and they're even more expensive. So that's the other reason we decided to start charging. Another reason we closed it off and didn't just have it free walk-in is the first year we did that, and there were some very questionable people that made a lot of people, parents, children, staff uncomfortable. Where now they have to go through the front door, they are on camera, they are visible, they are being followed, they don't even like being in our parking lot anymore. I don't know if you know the gate on the north end, that's on the main road, and that first year we were open, it was free, and we almost had a couple of kids get hit by cars, because it's a problem. So that's another reason that we closed the gates and we started charging for it. Signs for financial responsibility, they don't get it for free, even if it's a dollar, they tend to treat things a little bit better when we charge for it as well. So, as for the volunteers, do I think it could work? Yes. I am a little bit skeptical because that's a lot of volunteers. Today we actually checked the temperature in the shade. Is that 85 degrees? 83 degrees? That's not including the humidity. And you have to stay out there the whole time. Even in the shade, it's really hot, it's really muddy, it's really uncomfortable. And you mentioned having the moms do it, which I think is a great idea. However, moms need to watch their own kids before they watch anybody else's kids. And let's say that their kid runs away, that they're playing tags and he runs in the pool, now they're worried about this kid and this kid's over here because it's their kid. Whereas if you have a lifeguard or more of an unbiased person, it's easier to watch everybody. Does that make sense? So I do love the idea of having moms do it, but I really think they need to sit there, to watch their own kids before they can watch anybody else's. Yes?
Yeah, to speak to that, we're talking about against hours and against volunteers.
Yes.
And we're talking about two volunteers being there at all times. So
yes.
Moms watching their own, there is another person there.
Yes. That's my idea. So we did talk about that. We talked about having one by the garage doors that we check for wristbands. Those that have wristbands have paid for the pool, so they get pool and the splash pad. But those that do not get wristbands don't. They just get the splash pad. So we're going to have one by the garage doors and then one by the front gate so that way they could stop should that be an issue. We watch for people assign accountability that way. But there's no shade over there. We can get an umbrella. It's just
kidding. These things can be worked out. There's going to be some cost to this. I understand that.
Yes.
But it's only fair that the people that are already paying for it should use it.
Yes.
There will be some cost, and that's the things that you folks have to work out. I'm not going to answer those questions for you because I'm not in a position to hire people. But there will be some costs. We're trying to reduce those costs for you. You've got things to ask. You've taken care of a lot of things and done a great job. But we are denying people by salary, by their livelihood. There are a lot of people that can pay. There are a lot of people that can't pay to be ousted, and it's not right.
And so we did
We have put together our committee and actually come to Scott Park for free. On Mondays, it's free. Grant is broken right now, but we have parts on the way. We're trying to figure out why it starts on fire, and we turn it off. So, we're working on it. But it is free to everyone on Mondays. It is free. It is 0 to 3. The entire facility is free. It is 0 to 3 all week. Parents who do not get in the water do not have to pay. So let's say grandma wants to take her grandkids. Great. She doesn't have to pay to get in. So there is a limited cost of that way. And on Mondays, it's also Family Monday, so it's only $2 a person instead of whatever the fee is. It doesn't matter where you're from. But a couple of... Another issue with limiting it to just Mount Pleasant residents is the Aquatic Center tax is not charged to everyone that pays the Aquatic Center tax. Wait, I said that wrong. So those that pay the Aquatic Center tax, not all of them... People have Mount Pleasant addresses that do not pay the tax. Does that make sense? Sorry, that was very difficult to say. So there are county addresses that are technically Mount Pleasant addresses, but they don't pay the Aquatic Center tax. Yeah, so it's the city limits. So we could do that. We would have to go through these guys, and we've done it before. That's how we check the resident rates. It would have to be a lot more work on both ends to make sure that that list was updated as people move in, move out, that sort of thing. Sense. So that is, I mean, that could work, but that's something we consider that way. Another couple of things, you talk about volunteers, and I love the idea of getting volunteers. I really do. I think it'd be great. A couple of things that they would have to be trained on. The supervisor, coordinator, volunteer coordinator would have to become a CPO or a certified pool operator. It's about $500 for that certification, and that is because if they are in charge, they have to have that certification by health code. I have it, Colter has it, and he's renewed soon. I believe Stephanie has it, Sam had it at one point, and that's just something that's required. And my training budget cannot afford to pay for that.
Well, that's what the council comes in to support you.
Yeah, so that would have to be something else, but you guys are now aware of that. A couple of things is they would need to be trained on how to check temples, which is not very difficult. It would need to be done multiple times during that three and a half hour window. They would have to know how to check the pumps and how to troubleshoot any issues that they had. These are all things that my landlords actually do.
I'm not saying that these volunteers would do that. I'm saying these are volunteers that will follow the rules and watch out. I'm not volunteers to do all this additional.
Well, I know that makes sense, but that's one of the reasons we charge for it, is because these things need to be done, and that's why my staff does it, and that's why we charge. So on top of checking temples, pumps, and then the features, because sometimes the features get a little bit wonky, they have to count the patrons every 3 minutes. They also would be in charge of cleaning the area, which includes taking out the trashes, cleaning bathrooms, cleaning up messes left by people, which includes food, trash, and any sort of body fluids and matter that actually went down a lot more than we think, including dirty diapers. We do have to put weeds on a regular basis out there. We've got a great tan line on it. It's awesome. And then we also clean the cement so that way it doesn't get into our system, so you don't have to drain the tank quite as much. We get rid of insects and animals. We had a bat out there a couple of years ago. Lot of bees, things like that. The volunteers would also get to be the front line if an emergency did happen, which would be good to have some sort of first aid training. And I can actually get that certification, but that is something that they would have to have. Yes,
the volunteers have to go through a background check.
Yes, and that's something else that's not on my list that I think is really important, because there's kids. There's so many kids, and we want all of our kids to be safe. So they would be, if they're over the age of 18, they would have to have a background check. They would also be subject to the citywide land and drug testing that all of my staff are subject to as well. So that is something else to consider. Yes.
So, that I pay every month. I don't have any children, but I'm willing to do it so that the children in my town can have access to this. Where does that money go? Where does that tally? That should be paying for that person to do all of those things that you just said. Right. Yes, that's what I pay for.
Yes, and it does. And it actually, the tax barely covers our gas bill every month, our gas and power bill. And we keep our water as low as we can, but as high as we can at the same time. Because it's too cold, the kids don't want to swim, the seniors don't want to swim. But we actually want to talk about doing like a scholarship program, something like that. The response I have always been given is that those that would apply for it do not want anyone to have that information. Even if it was me, our financial director, and just the mayor, that sort of thing, they've never been willing to give that information so that I can give them that free.
So the money I pay every month is subsidizes the pool itself.
Yes.
So it helps pay for, so you're not having higher costs for
Yes. It makes it so that I don't have to raise my entrance fee, my passes, my concessions, and everything else.
Well, I think let's forget the volunteers and let the council hire some people to take care of these issues at least until this season is over. And then let's study this a little further and find out whether we have people that are willing to do what you're saying.
I would love that.
I would do that. Yes, yes, maybe more. Versus, because I don't know what you were saying, but when it was open and it was free and now it's paid for, all the kind of hard work that went to a pay deal, I think it would be worth even taking a month or whatever and trying, you know, 2 days a week, saying this is a day that was free, because we're paying for the staff regardless, and they're there, see what your revenue loss would actually be. It's not that much labor, I think, to find out what many people have come in and done that. You know, if you had a head count, you just kind of see. I mean, that's a trial of what you can do, but you kind of see that would give some benefit.
With the revenue, we also have to consider the parts that would break, the things that need to be replaced.
We're already in with tax right now, yes.
Yeah.
So that's all part of it. And if people are breaking stuff on campus, we need to be asking them to have them reimburse that money from other days or report systems.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to do that.
But that's a whole other mess.
Yeah.
But regardless.
Yeah.
Have you thought about maybe opening it up to the community to see what kind of volunteers could do the things that you've listed? You know, have a pool cleanup day once a week, where we go out and have the community see who comes together to help. Probably improvements in that, do the things that we obviously would need certifications for days, not certify the whole town, but those are all needed things that maybe do take a little bit off your staff to open up a little more for you. And that was how much involvement the community would like to put forth in return for things like that, extra free swimming day, what would the community get back?
That would be great. It just, I haven't found anyone who's willing to do that.
I think there would be a lot of people that would be willing to come out and have, you know, little cleanup days, just like we have our other city cleanup days, in return for something like that.
We can put it together and see who can do it. Another issue is we have people who are willing to do it for one day, but this would be an every week kind of thing, and a lot of people can't, enough people cannot commit to that long term. And that's the other issue.
Mm-hmm. Well, we could do it backwards. Then set it to 10 out of 5 before the efforts put in. See if it's something that you can get people to show up to for a long period of time.
We could try. I'm thinking logistically how to do that, but we can try something like that.
Mr. Mayor, can we have Mr. Scarron's address how other cities and in Utah, other cities and towns, get away with none of this, and Ingham Cities is open and free for everyone?
And I can explain that. The bigger
there's so many cities that have it open.
Have you seen the tax rate and how the tax rate is a lot? Yeah, how can we tell the difference? The difference is how often we go. So, even cities, their fresh water comes out, cold waters, sometimes that cold air goes down the sewer, and it has to be tested. Ours is in a circulating, just like a swimming pool. Therefore, it has to have the maintenance and testing, everything else. So, it doesn't require when the water that comes through, you can go out and then recycle.
So, that's not by you, it's supposed to be in the park. So if they're parts of the team where that
happens, I don't know why they chose to do the recirculating. I've never been involved in all that, so I really couldn't answer that. But
it does see water. I don't know either. I wasn't here for that, but I do know that it does.
That's the big difference of why the requirements are different. was always part of my involvement, and I was always digging in there, doing everything I had to be involved in. It was all big plan.
You might give you a half an answer, but you don't necessarily not. I don't want to put you on the spot.
So that's the question of what other municipalities are doing throughout the state. I will say that if the splash pad is attached to an existing facility, like an indoor swimming pool, like you have here, it's part of an admission cost. There's an admission cost to it. It's all part of the same complex. There are many cities around the state that if you're 1 inch feet to the swimming pool, grant you access to the splash pad and the swimming pool. There's no separate entrance or anything like that for the splash pad itself. There's no free access because of some of the issues we're going to talk about. How do you ensure that somebody who is paid, or excuse me, somebody who is not paid for your pool facility is now going to come in and use the restroom inside of the swimming pool that an admission rate is paying for?
When you close the gates and you have somebody there at the gate?
You can't close those gates though. You have to draw the doors, you can't close that area. That's an emergency exit for the swimming pool. There's some design issues there. Also, the other thing is, the question was asked about a splash pad being not a part of the city, of an existing indoor type swimming pool. Those are not monitored, okay? So there's no lifeguard present. They don't need volunteers. It's just you come and you go as you please. They do have staff there that are checking chemicals, that are making sure the features are running, the pumps are running, but they don't have a volunteer there all the time to check and make sure everyone is following the rules. If you have somebody who is like that, a volunteer checking, I would caution against that because that person isn't necessarily certified or they don't know what they should be looking for. Right? And that's a big issue you get into when you have somebody who's a volunteer who's now in charge of safety. If you've got that, then you're in a really, really itchy area where you could have somebody say, this person, somebody slips and falls on the pool deck, right? And the slide pad. And I have a volunteer station out there. I could ask the question, how was that person trained so they knew that they shouldn't let this person do this? Are they certified? So they know that this person shouldn't have followed those rules. That's where you come into some of those really big logistical and legal questions. A lot of those, I think, is a design issue from how the pool was designed and how you were saying, Councilman, about the recirculating water, and that is a huge, huge part of that whole thing.
I agree with you, but I'm not asking for the full time every day. I'm asking for reduced time, and I'm asking for it's a school stress. And just a temporary fix because it's so doggone hot, we deserve it anyway, and then we've got the whole winter to leave. You folks have the whole winter to figure this out. We want to get volunteers that are willing to be certified. We have time to do that. We don't have time to do that right now. I'd like to see this available now, work on the details for next season during the winter. I think it's important. What are the chances? I think you're giving the wrong message. You're telling the community you don't want to next year. We can't rush hearts.
I'm sure you're not going to look into the power yet. It's more the power of keeping it
changed. You turn it on and let your
sleep. I'm sure you're tripping all the areas.
So, as for the rest of this summer, we don't even know the splash pad will be working because of us having issues. So I say we take the rest of the summer, until next year, and figure out a solution as opposed to trying to push something through here, which is a lot more added stress on me, on my staff. It's just going to be we could do it, but it's not, I don't think it's going to be that money.
We're not trying to put it on the list. I'm looking at council to give you the help you need.
But if I really could do this, it'd be
at 30 pounds, that's all.
Yeah, and how do we...
Do you have a lifeguard out there with a splash pad?
No, but we do have a
lifeguard on deck. So anytime anyone comes through, there's someone on the splash pad deck or the pool deck, there's a lifeguard there.
So very lifeguard service?
Usually, yes. Part of lifeguard is you go where the people are, and if somebody's just sunbathing on the splash pad, you don't really stand there and watch them sunbathe. You watch the kids in the deep end. So, yes.
So if we were to have those volunteers out there, not necessarily happen to watch the splash, or the lifeguard not happen to watch the splash pad, we'd be right there close. If something happened, those volunteers could be out there.
Yes. They could. That makes me very nervous, because what I might be saying, there's some things like the sub pool rules, like no shoulders, no chicken fights, they don't allow anymore because there have been so many injuries that we've seen that now we don't allow it. There are like no goggles off the slider down the slider off the diving board, because it can actually cause a lot of damage to the eye. So there's some things that we know as lifeguards because it's part of our training, it's part of, we kind of get a radar for what's safe and what's not. And if they're not trained, like he was saying, you don't necessarily catch on to that and see that. And I know everyone's going to say, well, moms know what's safe and they don't. I cannot tell you how many times I've had to tell kids to stop running in front of their parents, and then that kid keeps running, and then he falls, and then his head cracks open, and then they have to go to the ER. Like, it happens, and yeah.
So how many kids are we talking about that risk of possibly is that we count the kids on the squad pad every 30 minutes? So when you started charging, what did you see the difference in the numbers? Did you see any change? Is it
harder? Not really.
Okay.
There wasn't a whole lot of change. And I know a lot of people don't think the splash pad gets used, but it does. It really does. It's been broken a lot this summer. There's been some certain mechanical issues. And it's just one of those things that happens over time, so it's not that we could have prevented it. But it does get used all the time. So,
if the water's not on the splash pad, is it because it's broken or because they don't turn it on?
Because it's broken.
So that's happened four times in 2 weeks.
Once in 2 weeks, because it's been the same issue the whole time. So earlier this summer, basically there was a valve that wouldn't cover the hole, so it wouldn't prime, which means that it was going to burn up on water, which melts everything inside, which then means it's really broken. And that's really, really expensive to fix and replace. And right now, something's going on with electricity. I do water, I don't do power, but I know it's not working. I know it's brilliant.
I'd like to speak, I'm sorry, I'd like to speak to the free Monday. Apparently the community did not know that it was open free on Mondays, and then had not been used very much on Mondays, whether the water's broken or they just weren't aware of it. So if it's only once a week, I don't think that's viable. I don't think that's fair to the I think what you're missing is, I know that a lot, and I admire you for your knowledge of everything that goes on there, and I think that you can get with the council and you can work this out. I'm asking for a temporary fix for the rest of the summer. We'll forgive the volunteers because apparently that's not the right thing to do. You may have to pay a salary to someone to go in there for 3 weeks and for 3.5 hours or 4 hours, whatever that time span is, and give Brittany some relief. So I'm going to put it on the council to do the right thing for just the rest of the summer. And then I think it's going to take a lot of input for you folks to figure this out for next season.
So part of it isn't on, so yes, it should be on the council, but part of it isn't because we are so short-staffed at that group.
I know, that's where they come in.
I know, but if we don't have people, we just don't have people. I mean, it doesn't matter how hard we advertise, how many things we offer for free. Like, normally the lifeguard class is about $180. This year, we offered it for free if you promise to come work for us. And we still are about 10 lifeguards short.
This is exactly what you're saying. I'm not here to answer all of this. The council is here to answer all the concerns and to take action and do something about it and take care of our community. That's what you're here for.
Okay, so Springville, Provo, Spanish Fork, all of those people, none of those people have people on Spotify. They just get it. They're off. They just walk in, they use Spotify, the kids use it, there's people, there's women, children, men, boys, girls, women. They don't have a restriction on it, and they don't have flag cards and all that on that Spotify.
That is because it's not connected to an aquatic facility. It's not connected to any sort of swimming pool. Those that are connected to pools, you do have that difference. And that's what we
do. So they've been having their Spotify for children.
I agree, which is why it's free, 0 to 3. We also have a reading program.
So if somebody has 10 children, it's $10 each time that you book higher, right? Because it's $1 right now, or is it $2?
I think that's a problem that I don't know. We need to access, but I think we can do so. I think we can go up there and separate the from the pool. So the pool has nothing to do with it. I've seen these splash packs before all over the state.
So if you do separate it, that's good. The main thing is one of our perks of having them together is when we rent them, they're both used. So if you separate them, it needs to be a movable separation, which...
All right, you can put rents up, put a base bed on it, and you got to do the clothes and boots.
Yeah. If someone...
They have a party.
Yeah.
And somebody reserves it.
And one of our main selling points is being able to open the garage doors and that way it's full. So, I mean, I really do think that it's not going to fix for the rest of the year. I don't think we're going to be able to get the parts in time and there's nothing we can do to fix that. I do think that we could work something out for next year. I mean, nobody's paying to use it right now anyway because it's not working. So I think we could tutor it and talk about it and figure it out and go and see what other solutions we can find.
So, question. It seems to me like every time I get on Facebook, the pool is, something's wrong. The 4th of July weekend, I work all day, so the big weekend that I have off and I plan on taking my kids to go do something, I can't even use their facility. It's been wrong twice in the last month, and everything's flat back as well.
So stop having the pool on separate parts of water. So what happened is
it's fine. Like I'm just saying, you really need to get four people to be able to use it.
And I agree, but there's only so much that we can do, especially when it's a little park that's this great that's supposed to last twice as long as it did. And you have to go
for problems with that room as well as any other pool in this area.
Well, you're only one in the state, but obviously,
No.
I'm sure Mike can attest that we're not. I know Gunnison does. Gunnison, their splash pad is part of the facility, so they do charge.
That was a whole purpose.
Yeah,
it's a whole purpose to splash pad.
This was his children, like they like it.
We need to take this as a council and work through the situation and come up as a way to maybe look at a few hours every day to have a business to the pool and splash pad open or something like that.
We have tried that before from 9 to 1:30 when we have programs going and nobody can
because we never know what to make it out.
Well, do not want to
be so
good. Yeah, we never heard that. We never saw that.
Can you get it on can you make a motion for tonight? And you have any conclusion after you go into the session? Because we need to have an answer as soon as possible. And if it's not working, can you answer to that also? All right, talk to I don't think any of us here are going to sway or are able to help you with answers. You folks are going to have to get together. You're going to have to help her, and she's doing a good job. She can't do much more. So it's going to be the council's responsibility to try to get this fixed. And just check whether it's fixed it, and then take some real time and get it fixed for next week. Thank you.
We need more things for our community, for our children to get a lot of
movies,
small kids. We need things for our kids to be
Shane, what do you guys need tomorrow?
Yeah.
At 9:30?
Terrible.
girls, place it on the
she ain't like specific.
So did you get there tomorrow and do that shit? See what's going on. I don't know what's going on. You gotta come back and ask for it. City policy and state code to make a final determination whether to grant that appeal, which would be to restore that individual to their employment, or to deny the appeal, which would uphold the underlying decision of employment. After speaking with the person appealing this termination today, we've decided he's requested to continue this 4 weeks. The reasons being, under state code, the terminated employee has the right to have it held in an open meeting, which he's elected to do, but also has the ability to call witnesses on his behalf and then confront witnesses of the other side. And so he's asking for some time to be able to do that, and that's certainly within his rights. And so that's what's going to happen tonight, is just a continuation. This will be placed back on the agenda in 4 weeks. Just to give you all kind of an idea of how this goes, this is a formal proceeding. My role is simply just to make sure that the law is followed, state law, city law, etc. The personnel administrator, in this case the mayor, and the department head of the individual who's terminated will be able to present the reasons for termination. The person that's been terminated will be able to present their side of the story, any evidence that they have, witnesses. They'll also be able to question and confront the allegations made against them from the other side. So in essence, it's kind of like a mini trial. At the end of that, the council would function similar to a jury, and they would reach a verdict, and it would be their decision. Pursuant to state law, it is by secret ballot. That's not a may, that's a shall. And so it would be done each individually by secret ballot, and they have to certify it, have it notarize their decision, and then it would be ultimately counted to determine what the decision would be. So that's where we're at today.
So we push it on for 4 weeks?
Yes, that's what the appellant has asked for, and I think that's appropriate.
Kevin, will the council be able to ask questions?
Yes, sir. I think that makes the most sense. Your job is to get it. The heart of the matter, and you're not allowed to ask questions. It's difficult to get all your concerns and questions answered.
That will be tabled for 4 weeks. Should we need a motion to table it to the right?
Yes. donations.
Now, I'll make a motion that we take up for tonight and allow the 4 weeks that Dave has requested in order to move forward.
Who's second?
Can you put a date on that 4 weeks?
Months from today.
Second meeting,
we don't have to be on the Tuesday night. We can
go to the third. That could be on whatever date you want. That's up to you guys.
And another regular city council meeting?
Sure.
4 weeks from tonight would be August 23rd.
That's part of the report.
Unless you've seen it, you might do it on the city council. So the motion is to table this for tonight, and the bill will be placed on our August 23rd city council agenda. That motion was made by Russell and seconded by Sam. Sue, roll call.
Lynn?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Rodney?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes. And just for the council's record, if you want to look at the state code of county governance, it's 10-3-1106.
Just to clarify, this might be for you, Kevin, to take those questions. Will that be held at the regular council meeting time and open to the public?
They would be able to
know all the comments.
Correct.
Not the section.
They could be in here and actually, if you're a witness, either party can explore it better.
No public unless they're a request.
Yeah,
unless they're a witness.
That's correct. Yeah, and then either party can invoke what's called the exclusionary ruling. If you're going to testify, then they can ask you to sit out so that your testimony is not influenced by other people.
I think that answers some of the questions. I haven't heard of it.
So that's 10-3-1106.
Hey, that's a good question. I can't hear you enough. Is the employee getting paid in the meantime, or is it
No. However, if the appeal is successful, they will be owed that pay during that period to where they were turning.
Well, Jay, you're up next. Still solar project. This is for the Steel Soil Project with UMass. They're going to be doing an 80 megawatt steel solar farm near Twila, which we would like to get involved in. We're only going to be doing 300 kW right now, just so we get a foot in the door on it. Well, this is the same one. The same one. It's just kind of been getting delayed because of the supply chain issues and stuff like that. So right now it's been delayed till next year, 2023.
Wasn't it supposed to run in this fall?
It was supposed to, yeah. But the supply chain issues and everything that's been going on, we're just trying to get the resolution passed. Virginia just reminded me we don't have the resolution on the agenda, so we'll have to approve that resolution next council meeting. so if you guys, but we can just discuss it now. So it's an 8 megawatt solar farm. Right now, the only solar information we have on the solar we have on our system is what our customers or the citizens are actually producing and throwing back out on the grid through the net metering program, which I believe we have 28 customers that are doing that right now. And it's growing substantially. There's a lot more solar starting to come on. And so I think it's getting to the point now where we're going to have to look at it as a city, when it comes to the power grid, to also make sure that our grid is able to function the solar that's coming on to our grid, which I think is a benefit, because it helps lessen our capital facilities projects, so we don't spend so much on substations and all that stuff. Even though we have to build another substation because of the growth we're seeing, the solar has been helping us out that way.
Any quick question on that?
Yeah.
Cut out, maybe not on track, but I've got a couple people around that have had some issues that people are putting in. Is there any policies of how they put those in? Because we got it, like, a couple of people have been talking, they put them into these solar panels that are basically lining their view windows of what they had originally, so now they can't even use those windows. Is there any kind of...
There is, we are planning on throwing power back on the grid. We go and we make sure that it's, it's done right according to our specs. But it's behind the meter, and they're making a savings behind the meter, and they don't need power out on the grid. They're using all behind the meter. There's nothing we can do about that. When it does go through and we do a net metering program and we buy power back from them, yes, there's some serious steps they got to take when it comes to the process.
That's probably something we need to look on our building codes.
That's what I was going to say, in the building codes.
You might have to look at a building code that's supposed to be behind a machine on fire.
Yes,
it's not looking on the grid.
Because the county also gets involved. I think that kind of process too.
That may be a lot of interest. Don't know where the references pick you up.
Yeah,
we're after, so
it's after. Yeah, it's after the meter, so we didn't have any say on it.
It's not really where the same one is.
Okay, sorry. No, it's good. That's good. So yeah, December 2023. So there is some talking points, and we'll be putting this hopefully on the city's website, and some talking points if you want to know more about the solar project and that. You can kind of look at that. We're going to be entering into a power purchase agreement, which is we've done quite a few of those in the past. Which is a power purchase agreement. One thing I want to point out is I believe it's going to be okay. Down here, what is the pricing? So the average price we pay right now is anywhere from 50 megawatts to 70 megawatts, which the wind, of course, the wind being our most expensive so far. And Colorado Service is at 35, but they're kind of shutting us down because of Lake Powell, kind of what's been going on with that. And so, but this is coming in at $34.66 per megawatt hour. So really, very reasonable, yeah. But the problem is, we peak at 8 o'clock, 7, 8 o'clock at night, when the solar's not back. We see our highest peaks at night when everybody's getting off from work and all that. And so that's when we peak. So it's going to help us during the day, but when it comes to night, then we don't really have that. So when batteries come along, when the technology gets there, that's going to be pretty
sweet, is that we can just, you know, charge up the batteries and then throw them out when we peak.
And so it's about ready, Shane, we're paying there, that we would pay 3466 megawatt. Is that in line with what we pay for the other generator power?
It's cheaper.
It's cheaper.
Like I said, our rates now are anywhere from 50 to 70 per megawatt hour. So 34 is solar is pretty cheap.
Yeah, that's quite cheap. I just didn't know what it was.
They are doing another project down that's called the Red Mesa Solar. We didn't get involved in that one. But right now, that is in negotiations with the price. But I believe this would be around 35 or more. And so I think 34.66.
That's cool. What bathroom for people that have been around?
They're in the wrong. Right now, with the Concrete Power Project, it's kind of working with the NRC, the National the Nuclear Regulatory Committee, and we need to approve everything because it's first of its kind technology, and so with the small modular, and so it's just taking some time. They're still shooting for the date that that's going to be online is 2029. The problem we're running into is like, what do we do before that? And so hopefully we can keep these coal power plants on and keep that base load coming in until 2029. They're thinking they're going to be able to do that with Hunter and Huntington. I hope they can, but it seems like we're always, it's a constant battle. So, they gave it just so that we kind of know where they just kind of FYI, kind of off the thing, but I was up to a conference and they were predicting rolling black brownouts and blackouts from Wisconsin south to Wisconsin west for this year. And I think Utah's looking pretty good because we do have coal. And our power is, prices are pretty reasonable because we have coal. And so I think we're okay. So we've been watching our peak. We did hit a new peak power usage yesterday, I believe. Or it was the day before, one of those days. But yeah, a new high peak. So we are growing. We are seeing it. It's starting to really affect us. But if we do start seeing brownouts, then we're shutting the system down. We're not going to take the chances risking this to burn up another substation transformer or regulator or anything like that or any of our customers' equipment. And so we're watching the voltage pretty close. If it starts going down below, you know, safety standards, then we're going to shut it off. So just so you guys are aware of that. So it's kind of sad. It kind of comes down to that with today's technology and everything. But green power is not always the greatest. And it's very expensive. We're finding out. And technology is just not quite there yet. It's coming, but it's not quite there. So the solar, we're just going to be adding this into our portfolio. And what's another talking point? Well, one of it. If they're not able to meet the purchase power agreement by giving us the power that is produced, they will pay us that. So they have to guarantee, they're going to guarantee that we're going to be getting what we purchase. So, and as you can see, the kind of the PPA price index on that page right there, kind of see how that works. And so, with the resolution for next council meeting, we did adopt one resolution, but since the only reason why we're doing another resolution is because it's going to put it off. It's delaying the time. So that's why we're just redoing the resolution. So it's going to be the 22 of the power purchase agreement, which is the same exact resolution that we did previously for this project. And so, but it's just, since it's not coming out this year, we put it off to next year, so we got to redo it. So that's why. But I'd be more than happy to answer any of you guys' questions. If you have questions on it, with the project that's coming up, it looks pretty promising. There's a lot of members in UAPS that's involved in that one, and the Red Mesa. and it looks like it could be pertaining to the nuclear call. So it looks like there's a lot of interest in that, because being an investor, in my opinion, just as much, to tell you other words, being an investor for over 20 years, you have to have something that's a base load. Renewables are nice, they have their place. Wind and solar are good, don't get me wrong, but they're not reliable. You know, you have to have something that's reliable, just like these coal power plants. And the nice thing about these small modular reactors is they can follow the load when it comes to the solar and to the wind. And it can do that a lot more user friendly than the coal power plants can. Because they would maybe just turn on and run. And then now you got solar coming on, comes on during the day. And you get what's called, what they call the duck curve. Solar comes on and it drops, you know, they have to drop clear down. And then come around 4 o'clock at night, they have to ramp clear back up when the sun starts going down. So, and they call that the duck curve, and it's getting to be more and more severe in the grid. And it's something we're gonna have to face in the future. But with the small modular reactors, we're able to follow that role. And so with that, what I want to promote is for you guys, they're going to be doing a tour in Corvallis, up in Corvallis up in Oregon. I believe it's Oregon. But it's taking it into what's called the control room of the small modular reactors, where you can go and see each of the reactors and how they're functioning. And they actually do demos there, like earthquake scenarios and stuff like that. And it's very, very mind-blowing and very humbling to be there and actually see this technology work. Because you don't, I mean, it's just going to use a minute amount of water and it can shut down just like that. You know, you don't need all this backup battery systems and stuff like that to make it shut down safely. They can just shut down. So, but there is a tour that's going to be coming in August. And I would like to see if any council members with the fire department, any of us would pay for your trip to go out there and actually participate in this tour to see this plant, to see the control room where they do it, and learn more about the project. So I'll let you know the dates on that, but it is going to be coming up here pretty soon in August. So.
How many acres are you kind of one time? How many acres would it take for one of these small?
It's going to be on 40 acres.
40 acres is all. I mean,
you don't need all the safety stuff like you did on these big modular reactors. And the nice thing about these small modular reactors is they can be built off-site and then shipped to on-site.
Well, you know, I was going to say, well, I'm not in this city. Wasn't it like just a few acres or something out of all we need?
Yeah.
Put it on. It can be very small. But I know Utah Power over there right now on their power plants they have, having worked at 30 years. They got room over there right now to put in two plants, one at Huntington, one at Hunter.
They have it, exactly.
And they can hook it straight into their grid right there.
See, it's all set up. And the nice thing with Hunter is like a spur. Hunter power plant's like a spur. That Hunter power plant has to be pretty much there. And so it's going to either go stay cold, or it's going to go nuclear, or gas, or something.
No matter what water they use, now it's probably a lot more than what this
is. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like with this project, we're going to be doing dry cooling. No, it's not going to be wet cooling. It's going to be dry. Because of the water situation, we're obviously slowing down. Even though this is an Idaho, there's still suffering from water up there. So yeah, that's pretty interesting. So with the CIS, we'll have that resolution ready for you guys next council meeting to sign. And if you want to go over it, I'm more than willing to go over it with you one-on-one, or just give me a call and we can kind of discuss it if you have any questions. But we'll be locking it at this price of $34.66, which is the cheapest power we have now, other than right below, right next to Chris. risking, but we're kind of hurt on that right now too, so with that, that's all I got, so.
Hey, thank you.
So with that, you need a few more resolution.
It was just hidden on your back, it's gonna be done easy.
It's just my fault. Okay, I'll leave you guys a call tomorrow, I'm telling you.
What's up, your own participation?
What am I going to do about the deal? 3 weeks ago, I had two different bills down in my yard. One has a big scar on her side, and one looks like somebody earmarked her. Beat the crap out of my two little dogs that are like this big. The one couldn't walk for 2 weeks. The next day, I went out to get clothes off my clothesline, and she would not let me in. She took me right to my house. It's ruined my garden, the bay, but two apple trees, three quakies, and five shrubs. I can't grow a tomato or a zucchini. What are we going to do about it? I called the Fish and Game, and they said, it's up to the city. They told me I could paintball them. What good's that I want to do? They're making hurry. What are we going to do?
You know, when you were kids,
there were no deer. We had it down the farm,
and, you know,
and we never saw a deer.
And you know,
I know that people were moving down.
Because we didn't chain our dogs up. Back then, dogs ran loose.
Yeah, but one dog was on a chain.
It's the deer. The same deer got two of our dogs.
Yeah, but your dogs too.
The deer did?
Yes.
It's protecting the farm.
I don't care. It wasn't protecting me.
Kids running through town in neighborhood shooting deer. So we went through and made resolution of code living alive in town for that reason. So the Fish and Game wouldn't help us out at all.
Oh, they told me that was your job.
And well, that's our job. Then we got to get
Yeah.
the job we're saying that we'll take care of. Then we'll hire. But if you shoot two, 10 come back in.
Well,
I don't know. You know, it's a...
We got four sets of twins just down in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
So next year, what are we going to have?
I know.
I got a picture of 22 deer laying up under my big tree.
What did we have, probably?
And what about their bears? They just let me and shoot their cousins in
the bush. The other side of that, we had people laying there and they'd be there.
I know. It's very discouraging, and it's not good for the deer.
No, it isn't.
They're huge.
And so we battered her up already. We've been it around. We don't know
what to do. One comes after me, and one of my kids, and one of the neighbor kids. Somebody's going to be in trouble. Because I don't know what to do again. I don't know what to do. She told me, if you shoot it, you will get a citation.
They're very good. You see, they tell you to go back and see, but see how they come up with a great big master thing that has to be approved through the whole public voting system to even do it. So it's almost, it's a nightmare on all that. The DWR will take
Because if they'll take after me, what are they going to do to a little
I think the first thing they need, and I think a lot of the cities and a lot of the citizens need to be
this is a problem down here downtown, and we all need you guys to step up and do something.
There is just one of that.
Because they don't know what to do at all.
Not the Spring City.
I mean, that's, it's throughout the town, they don't have issues.
I tried to go through the drive-thru at the Cash Valley Bank. The bill remained there, I couldn't get to the thing. I had it, if you can't tell. I want something done.
Well, I see a train arriving for you, okay?
I think that would be awesome.
Miles away over the deer hunt.
Back up the mountains.
Man, I done that. Man, I paid pretty good chunk of change.
And that takes travel.
Yeah.
Travel 6 1 year.
Six? That's all you drop it about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all they do. Well, they trap some others, but people turn them loose on. Fishing game will, the two options of fishing game will lack. Is you either have to travel with light traps, and then other groups has to go out and kill them. You have to have a list of citizens that's willing to take the meat. Then after they're killed, then they reveal all to them. Or else we have to hire professional hunters to come in and take care of them in the city.
Well, something needs to be done, because it's getting scary.
From what I remember, when you get the other council, they're looking out here, it's got a disease and they can't use the meat, so.
Why?
They have a disease.
Well, and we can eat the ones we get.
Come on, the mountain.
Yeah, they test a few, and they test a few. It's the mad cow disease, basically, but it's in the wasting disease, chronic wasting disease.
Oh, they're not wasting and loving, but that's it. I have it with the deer.
Tom Beasley.
Not much of a public speaker, so you have to bear with me. But when something isn't right, you got to speak up about it. So I'm here tonight on behalf of two people, Lynn Beasley and Christina Shepherd. How it was the beginning of him losing his job, and Christina by how she's been treated horribly by her neighbors. I'm shedding light on a problem that it should have been looked at long ago. And you all understand Christina is my sister-in-law, but she lives across the street from the mayor. It started one night with a little party going on next to Christina's. Not a big deal, we've all done it. But she noticed that there was a city vehicle at the party, and the party went till early in the mornings, and then they all left. Christina, my wife's sister, called Kathy the next morning and told her what she had seen the night before. Kathy then told my dad there might be something we should be looking into. And so he thought about it for a while and decided he ought to tell the mayor, because if something happened, he wouldn't feel good about it. So he told the mayor, hoping that the mayor would do a little investigating. He wasn't looking to get anybody fired or in trouble, he just wanted it looked into. Instead, the mayor let the cat out of the bag immediately. When the person that was in the city, was in the city vehicle that night, was asked about the problem, he denied any wrongdoing and said Lynn was trying to fire him, or get him fired. Called him a liar. Then the city went back through Lynn's phone records and said that he had never had the conversation with Christina. But the mayor knew how it all played out because him and I had the conversation in his driveway. Remember that?
Yeah. I also called your sister-in-law and she denied it.
You all talked to me. Well, it's because she's
there. I did my fault.
No, but she's scared to go out
because I can't talk. I can't talk about the questions.
So since then, since this employee and Coulter are like sisters, that's when it all started, besides when Lynn had to go. So for the last year and a half, my dad's been kicked in the guts, rolled up, and accused of false accusations, and now fired. I mean,
mean, it's been a snowball effect. That's where it's ended up. And then Christina has continually been treated by shit by her neighbors, which I don't know how you don't know that. And she, I know you talked to her, but she's there by herself, and she didn't want any more trouble. But it's continued for a year and a half, so now she's wanting to do something about it. So, and that's, yeah, because Dustin works out of town, so she's there by herself. And that's for my dad and my teacher, and the guy has worked for over 50 years plus, construction, truck driver, 25 years management of a coal mine, and he comes here to end his working career, and he just gets kicked in the guts. Coulter got a bullet his ass, and he decided he had to go, and that's what happened. So,
Lane, is that right? And Kayla? Get me this.
My husband might sign the wrong paper.
Okay. want to take it off?
Same thing.
Same thing, wrong paper? Okay, happy reason.
We all know how I felt when I expressed my concerns the last 2 weeks, but my biggest concern now about firing these employees is the comptroller. I have seen Jack down there every single day, obviously not being paid, to help us and the 4-H group down there. We had a 4-H show. The mayor stood up here 2 weeks ago and said that it would be taken care of. And you know who did it? Jack. Jack and Galen are the ones that took care of it, even though the mayor sat up here and he promised that it would be taken care of. My sister's forced to fail. She called Rondi and expressed her concerns. I'm pretty sure Rondi's over the conflict. Somebody needs to be volunteering and helping out Galen, because Jack isn't being paid for all of his time that he's there. There's a big event coming this weekend, so which one of you guys are going to be down there helping Galen and take care of this? Because obviously, you guys can't get your shit together and give Jack his damn job back because he deserves it.
Counselor, is that what it
said? I got that. I got a couple of things. We talked about trees for before I was in council for 3 years now, and it's not nothing that hasn't ended up not a thing. But I found a 9 dead trees on State Street. If you remember, countless trees need to be trimmed because half of them is dead, and it's a disease that needs to be trimmed. What are we going to do? We've got to find some money to have some money to do something for the world.
Water truck doesn't work. We tried that last
year. So is there any way of tweaking
that? We need to just go in and the trees that are alive, make sure that that's the rest system, make sure that it's up there.
Actually, if you look at the same code, it's the landowner next to them supposed to be watering them and taking care of them. And they're letting them work a lot. They're doing that for the landowner. Almost do it.
We need to, if it's a policy of the city, we need to enforce it. If we're going to lose them, we're going to lose these trees.
The big boy, there's nobody else who owns them.
This landowner asked the city, please do not put other trees in front of my house. I'm going to put a driveway there. I was told none of your damn business were planting the trees. Well, now they're dying. I said I want them gone. Well, that's my responsibility, not the city's.
industry.
There are, and it's beginning to work.
I mean, our plan is beginning to work pretty sharp.
State Street.
State Street. Main Street looks good. I'll check it out.
Oh, thank you.
I can't imagine State Street's gonna be good too. I got, I guess I could market some people that do turn trees and where they move the market of power.
We do have a visitor tree service this year to be driven up again. We have a contract with them to do water treatment in the mines to the ones that we won't be able to get to this year. So I'd be willing to, you know, go for some of them and share costs, you know, if that's what.
Sure. You'll be paid that out, took that line, don't you?
Out of the line, but they are in our secondary line for our street lines. So I can talk to them and see if they can get us a quote here on.
I think that would be good for the ones that need to be turned.
Oh, and the ones that need to be taken, they're completely out. Yeah, like in front of the old Illusion Academy, stuff like that.
I think we need to find somebody to get those out.
So, yeah, but I can talk to them and let you know.
And they like to talk to this guy and see what he can charge. I feel it's really reasonable.
Only thing, we wouldn't get taken out, we can dig them out, we have to, and pull off, and move them. But the ones that need to be watered, certainly, we gotta get the citizens to step forward and water them. They send it out the newsletters, am I right, Amy? Asking the property owner in front of the trees to please water the trees, and then we would give them a break on their water. Water the trees. And so we've had an effort tried since last year to try to take care of the trees and try to get them watered. We tried to, Mr. Shaw tried to water a couple of condens. You just can't get to them fast enough to get it done.
And speaking from experience, from two that I just cut down on that property, the ones that are dying, they're already dying. The nail in the coffin for these trees was 30 years ago when the irrigation ditches were built. It would be in the city's best interest along State Street to replace the trees and put in irrigation. That's just my opinion. Yeah,
we discussed that too.
It would be in the city's interest to do that on State Street instead of putting it on Grand Mountain. Those trees that are already looking dead, they're gone.
Yeah, they're gone.
The two that I cut down, one of them, I thought the top of it looked good. When it hit ground, the base of the trunk was hollowed out. And that was gone. And I've been in the house for 5 years and I've been beating myself up for not watering it. But as soon as I hit ground, I realized there was nothing I could have done to save that tree. When the irrigation canals, ditches were filled in, that was the only problem. And that was new at the time. And they're old and it's sad, but there's not much in my knowledge opinion that we can do to save those trees. The best option would be to plant new trees and let city irrigation to work.
Well, I am playing for an unapproved number, but I just think if there is some of those people, we can say we should
not do it. There are some we can say. But the ones that are already in those beginnings, well, I think we can find who owns the properties that's in front of those trains and send them a letter.
Last year we hand delivered, what's his name, Jay?
Lane's
on the show. Delivered hand letters to every one of those houses, asking them to please work on the trees. Association on the home business. Well, I agree that that would need to be paid to take care of. I know the mayor cut one down out there on Saturday morning. By McDonald's out there. It's called it away. Also, in December, the cops have a city on up there. I think they need to be cut down by the mayor. Yeah, they need to be. And like you said, we
irrigation system down there, they're putting a lot off. Waiting on this new irrigation system. But that was something we talked about as a council, and that comes in, putting in a drip system for the trees and planting new trees. And that thing along State Street. So they were taken care of, and they wouldn't be watered. There's a judge, retired judge, that told us up there on a new irrigation system. And we're doing everything we can to get that. We got some good news today, and I'll let the mayor pass out on the end of the year. Yeah, there's some things that we're working on. We're trying. We're trying to get some things done. But the bureaucracy, it just the toilet wash through and get things done. We want to get it done. And this COVID just put the cramps on so much. And they're using it as an excuse now, I think, a lot. It's just an excuse to not go with production. But it's in the plans, and we're talking about it, we're going to do something about it. We'd like a beautiful community too. But I agree with Councilman Madison, we need to get the trees that's dead along there and get them dug up and get them moved. As much as we can.
How about those two dead pine trees where the old high school is? That was horrible.
That's a fire. The Ambulance Association owns all that ground.
Can't be forced when you cut them down?
We sent them notice, they did all their weeds, but...
They didn't cut them down.
I think that's really a good one where it's a hazard.
But a fire hazard.
Fire hazard, and these, well, the other wind, these branches are going to come down. It's going to be good for us, so I don't know.
Yeah, I can talk to you. I don't know why I said no.
We had a couple of them that machines that go through and take them out of the outline, so I can be concerned that it's going to be we can we got a chipper, we just have to schedule time to do it.
It's why don't we use over here, but
who's the key to this question? We got that secondary line, it just goes from right forward to right forward. But if you're looking at doing that irrigation line along there in the future and stuff, I'd like to put all that out underground.
Yeah.
So while we're at it,
simple to do.
Yeah. That's what we talked about doing. It would be good. So the system crossed all down State Street on both sides.
They cut that one tree down, Jeff, from the one time there was one out there.
Right.
It's only new route.
We've taken out quite a few.
Well, a solar system, there used to be one out there on that lot.
Yeah, we've taken out quite a few dead. Because there are branches that have fallen on the sidewalk and stuff. Yeah, liability there for the city. So if we need to take the rest ones out, we will. We just got to get scared if you want to do that.
Also, we get the water on the track and put the weeds out of the industrial park.
So she can have some water. But I can tell you, Brittany does a wonderful job of trying to separate them and trying to get help, trying to get lifeguards is a cost. It's not just here, it's statewide. I mean, you've seen it on the news, many of you have probably seen it on the news. Pools statewide, they closed through the Murray. They closed Murray down because they didn't have lifeguards. Arkansas Lake, with all the population they got, you can imagine how hard it is for her to get these people to try to do it. And I know that she'll do everything she can, we work as a council too, to try to, you know, make sure the food is used to the best that we can. But I don't know how far outside that are we right now.
Do you?
Yeah, I would 100%. Dave's not here, but I know we're upside down quite a bit in the other pool right now. And we're trying to keep it running and trying to keep things going. And then as far as parks goes, anybody that's in the business of repairing things, metals, and trying to get stuff brought in. But it used to be just a few days. It isn't like calling Amazon and getting a new pair of gym shoes. It takes sometimes months to get things in. Shane's been having trouble to do. They ordered stuff in advance, way back in advance, and things that they think are better down to keep us, try to keep us going that way. So that's an issue of the group, the slash
map. I think you mentioned
something. So that's what we're dealing with there. And then I talked to Sandra too, and I talked to Mark Mills. We're getting the blueprint for the rest of the cemetery. So we're going to be up there, I guess. I know I have already passed the council, except for a general conversation about where the memorial is, or it's going to be a vegetable on the fast eventually. So you don't have to stand there and wait to run back to the church and so on. But we're working on getting that done. But other than that, I don't have anything else.
I just want to update on everyone on the road project. They're looking to start the week of August 15th or the week of the 22nd. They're going to finish the ship sale on Tech South and the subdivision, Pleasant View subdivision. And then we'll be repaying the dirt south and 500 east. And they are going to do a flush coat, so they'll do a court order on the ship sale also. And they have to do that, so we can expect to see a lot of road construction by the way. That's all I have really.
As far as asking the village, what was that going to be?
First of September is when the grant money becomes available, so the process it takes to get that on that private parish, how long it would take for basically give us a green light. And I am asking for bids also. I know we have that. I don't think we get it until we have to. We can't receive the bids until the grant money has been released to us. Yeah, so we will start putting in some more tickets on for it.
So I have some contractors that want to contact that are minorities, because that's part of the grant. So we have contact minority owned companies.
Okay. I ask a question. When they did 700, they didn't go through the intersection with both ways from 7 through the intersection. They didn't choose the red. They just went straight. Are they going to come back and do it so far?
I'll look at that and look what we got and make sure. And now contact Gary. Yes. Let them know where we need them.
When I spoke to the bid, he said not fine to not inquire to do this, so I just wondered if they would come back.
Yeah, and I know that it's, they are coming back and things happen, I'm sure some projects, so I'll make sure they're aware of that.
So they came and hit those couple of roads, in between your job, state road, the job they had, it was like halfway in between, and then they did like down the number of units here, and bring down the parking lot, just so.
So they might come back?
They're coming back, they will come back, because there's still the other two places or three places they have to chip some. Sam?
Not a lot, just basically on fire, I'm going to take an SOP, so we can counsel through it.
What is that you're updating, sorry?
SOPs.
Okay.
So whether this is not there, is there restrictions on the mountain house?
Right now, there is restrictions on state private or the BLM. Forest Service, there's nothing unless you get down to Fish Lake. They've got restrictions down there. I don't think they seem to be making any decisions on our area. Yeah. And then that includes some city limits, there's not at all that restriction. They're on their own and restrictions, so that's beautiful. But generally, ours is year-round in their own limits and limits. You have to have a year-round limit. So
be a part of it. That's the fact, city code.
Anything else?
Okay, Lynn, you need something for this weekend, help get ready?
No, I have Jack going down there. I've asked him to take care of what needs to be taken care of down there. He is very capable, he knows exactly what needs to be done, and he does it the most efficient of anybody. So I have Jack going down there. And I'm also there as well.
So your stall, they're all cleaned out, everything?
Yes. And shoveling. I have shoveled more poop than anybody in the world.
Okay, the only thing I really have, big good news is we got the approval to do the second rule of the division of drinking water against the grant. So we didn't have to get the story to send them, so they gave us the variance. So they gave us the variance. So, it's a great news for us. Also talking to Devin today, they're submitting the plans on the streamline end of the week to the drinking water, hoping to go out for it. So we'll go ahead for it. That would be part of that big move out. So that deal approved, they've got help around now, it has to be approved by the division of this water.
And we continue with the program.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. The other way, I tried to get a little advice today, and he never responded back to me. Last time I talked to him, they're hoping they have plans to end of this week, first of next week, to get it ready last time. So, to get ready for the rest of it. So, you know, we're not there. One of the irrigation system, we're over with that. Get that up in stupid paper. Price and just roll up.
Yeah.
$18 it was 18, or up to 24, or whatever, 25, 45. The cost, but we're probably not 18. And then I think they got this 25, I bet.
I got some. Just so you're aware, right now, I was talking to, I said, you know, call for our vendors. Right now, regular household transformer, you're a year out. And three-phase, you're three years out on a three-phase transformer. So, just to kind of give you a heads up. I know we got some people up in the industrial park that are wanting three-phase. They're looking to get three-phase. We might have pulled some strings, but I don't know. A lot of people are just hanging on to their stock. So, it's just trying to play catch up and all this stuff. It's a little out of the way. It's just
maybe. Well, that's something too. This is all Don Beasley out there. Not Don Beasley, it's Don Beckett. I had a whole bunch of this sprinkler store that would make it last week. There's going to be a damn narrow in here, or a mowing body that might have seen some suspicion going all over there. They pulled that out of the trailer, rode it out, threw it off the trailer, and all of that. Down straight across from the front trail, right next to the cross, our place down there. I'll talk to see some people over there that he didn't pay much attention to. So Bob stopped me the other morning. I don't know how to walk. And so he stopped me and asked me if we had any cameras or anything. So that's another reason, I guess, to get some cameras up. But yeah, I don't know how much it cost him for them. But it was really not like a little pause. There were a lot of pause. So if you have those scenes or anything, he wanted me to bring that up. He wanted me to bring it up. You can see if we had any cameras at that.
We got 10 cameras around the substation area. Do you see if we can, I just don't know if we can rotate over that horse.
Yeah, if it does, if you had to get some,
I'll wait that. Wait, when is that?
Well, it happened last weekend, I think.
Ready to keep the turbo on or something?
Yeah.
Is it only a motion?
We need a turn.
That would you prove for that?
All in favor?
I mean, I don't agree.
Is that my job? Is that what you're doing? I can't.